Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah help.
Real Salt Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to a brand new episode of the RSL Show. We're coming in hot post-Thanksgiving. Did everybody have a good Thanksgiving? I had a great Thanksgiving. Alex, how was your Thanksgiving, dude?
Thanksgiving was good. Got to eat some food and hang out with family, and then spent the rest of the time working.
Josh?
Working. Why'd you work?
Well, I mean, just like Thanksgiving weekend, you know?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I took a lot of naps. That was my Thanksgiving. Carry on.
Hey, what'd you guys buy for Black Friday? Did you guys buy anything, though?
No. Nothing.
I went and bought a new purple mattress at full price because there were no Black Friday deals. Just stupid.
I was gonna say, like, the deals were bad this year, dude. There was nothing good. Unless it was, like, small business. Small business was, like, cool. I bought some, like, random shirts, but nothing, like, big ticket. Yeah.
Alex, what'd you buy,
No, I didn't buy anything. Black Friday, I literally spent the day inside, cleaned up a little bit, just hung out with family.
What video games are you playing? I feel like you play video games.
Oh, you know what? I did buy a video game for Black Friday.
I haven't had a chance to play.
But High on Life. The Rick and Morty people made it, and it's very Rick and Morty. It's so fun. It's a good time.
Very cool. We're all high on life, except for Alex. Sounds like you're working a lot, dude. But hey, pay your dues, dude. You're like 16, so you should be working 6 jobs. That's normal. Okay, well, let's talk about the Major League Soccer season. We're going to also cover some Real Salt Lake rumors. And we're going to talk about, we're not going to cover the end of the season. We already did that a few episodes back. But we are going to talk about player grades, what kind of changes we hope to see. We're going to kind of break down every athlete individually, maybe the coaching staff individually. So that should be fun. But let's look at the MLS Cup playoff bracket.
Dude, it's unbelievable that that's still going.
Yeah, that was a long break, wasn't it?
It's unbelievable. It's still not over. We're just barely getting to the conference final?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So
realistically, though, have you guys been paying attention?
No.
Not as much as we have in the past, I feel like. But I was really interested in the Houston and SKC matchup, and I'm just so happy that SKC has been eliminated because, well, you know what? That's a good question. We all hate SKC to our core, but what you have liked to see SKC beat Houston.
Yeah, low key. Would have loved it.
Yeah, probably.
I'm more irritated with Houston right now than I am SKC, so they're both gonna get eliminated hopefully by LAFC. So
is that who we've got down as our MLS Cup winner for this year? Is LAFC?
I think who did I pick last week? Alex, was it Seattle? Seattle and Cincinnati?
Yeah, I think that was
I lied. I actually picked LAFC Cincinnati, so go LAFC.
I said you LAFC did. Have a good you chance did. To go back-to-back. And then right now with the literally just announced the suspension of Matt Miazga for Cincinnati, which is huge, huge loss. I think Columbus might edge that one out.
Columbus LAFC final, huh?
Yeah.
Ooh, that'd be fun, man. Just because of the Cruz history and all that, I don't think they've been on a stage like that in a minute. But you got
just Cucho. A couple of years. It hasn't been too long.
Feels like an eternity.
2-3 years.
That's right. Oh yeah, you're right.
2020.
I would say I do have it in the bag for LAFC. I feel like LAFC, they go to LeBron James in playoffs, dude. Like they just hit that playoff mode. Incredible things happen. Results go their way. Players just turn it on and start connecting, start scoring. Obviously,
Wonga just hasn't turned it off. So,
yeah, obviously, like 1-0 over Seattle is not super impressive as far as like a result, just to have it 1-0. But I don't know, man. I see it going in their favor this season. And it's just weird, man, because I feel like they too kind of disappeared or edged out in the regular season. They weren't really much of a hot topic. People were critical. Fans were critical. And I don't know, man. I just feel like that's how this league is. If you're having a mediocre season and you heat up, now's the time to do it. And then all of a sudden you're in a conversation playing a Western or an Eastern Conference final.
Yeah, and I mean, everyone knows MLS is, you know, the winner is whoever heats up at the right time. I mean, look at Houston, right? They heated up just in time for the playoffs. LAFC's turned it on. Columbus turned it on. So
I like Cucho. I do like Cucho. I would like to see something cool happen for them, but I'm not feeling too optimistic that Columbus could beat in LAFC, or even if it goes to Houston, like let's say if Houston eliminates LAFC, I feel like Houston's just pretty well rounded. Like after seeing the three matches versus Real Salt Lake, it's hard to really say that they're, you know, that they're poor on the defensive end. It's hard to say that they're not a team that's meshing well right now. I think for them too, they're also a team that's kind of found like their grounding and the chemistry's good, and everyone seems to be in it to win it, you know? So
yeah, I think Houston's weakness though is their attack really isn't great. So once they come up against a decent defense, like they're gonna have troubles, right? Like let's be honest, RSL's defense poor, SKC's defense poor, you know, LAFC's defense could give them fits, or you know, even a Miazga-less Cincinnati could give them a hard time. So I don't see Houston going very far. Was Corey Baird gonna carry you to the final, through the final? Nah.
I have a hard time seeing them getting past LAFC to begin with. But if somehow they do, that would be quite the story for Ben Olsen, first-year head coach, who, by the way, if you look at all these teams, they are either first-year head coaches or year two head coaches. Steve Cherundolo is on his second year. He's about to potentially take LAFC to another final. Houston with Ben Olsen, first-year head coach. Cincinnati, Pat Noonan, second-year head coach, and then Columbus, first-year head coach with Wilfred Nancy.
I don't like talking about Pat Noonan. Makes me sad.
What could have been?
We know you're a low-key Philadelphia Union fan, so what was your reaction to them being eliminated after, you know, winning like the three-game series against New England? And then just losing 1-0 to Cincinnati. Like, do you think Cincinnati's a better team, or was it just an unlucky result for Philadelphia?
No, I think this year 100% Cincinnati is a better team. They've shown it throughout the course of their season. You got the MVP, Lucho Acosta, tearing it up for Cincinnati.
Luciano.
I think this year for sure Cincinnati is a better team than Philly, which I think overall disappointing season for Philadelphia.
Yeah. They definitely took a downward turn, which is crazy to say because they still had a fairly successful year, but I think hopes were a lot higher for that team.
Yeah, for sure. I think within the fan base and online, you can definitely see that the hope was a little bit higher for where that Philly team would go, but they really didn't make it far in Champions League. They really didn't make it far in the playoffs. They struggled a lot during the regular season, so I think this year overall, from my perspective, it looks like a disappointment from Philadelphia.
So if you guys are jonesing for soccer, December 2nd, Saturday, both matches will be played. The conference final will go like this. So 4 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, it'll be Cincinnati versus Columbus. That's going to be a great match. You'll definitely want to tune into that. And then right as that match concludes and we know who's going to the final, then we find out from Houston in the LAFC match who will face that opponent in the MLS Cup, which is going to be played on December 9th, which is, you know, 7 days away from Saturday. So a lot of soccer in the next 2 weeks. And I don't know about you guys. I do love tuning into the MLS Cup final. I think it's fun for the most part. You love to see those games be close. But imagine this scenario, Josh. Let's say it's Houston and Columbus.
I'm not watching.
Bro, let's just say this. Let's just say it's a draw. And he goes to PKs. And the fifth penalty kicker, the taker, Corey Baird steps up, dude, to win it. And he wins a cup for Houston.
It's misery. Honestly, it's misery.
It would have been nice to know you, because I don't think you'd ever come back from that. You know what I mean?
No, I think I would sell all of my memorabilia. I'd get my tattoo covered up. I'd renounce my fandom. I would get into golf probably. Yeah, it would be dark days for me.
Cool. You would just start watching F1 racing full time, do an F1 racing podcast?
No, I think I'd probably just start covering WWE.
Oh, dude, that's actually...
That actually sounds fun.
That does sound fun. So yeah, a lot of soccer to be played, obviously. Real Salt Lake season has ended. It's done. There was some interesting stuff, obviously, covered in the last episodes. But you still see a lot of people still kind of going at Musovski. Yeah, you see there was an article that was published, I believe. Ooh, I don't want to say. I think it was KSL? I'm not sure.
Yeah. KSL Sports yesterday.
There it is. So let me pitch that real quick, because I had seen the headline. I just haven't had time to read it. I do want to read it, but I think it'll be good for context. And then if the listeners, if you guys want to go check it out, if you go to Google and just put KSL Sports Musovski, it's the first search result. Or if you go to KSL Sports, it's titled "What Exactly Happened Between Danny Musovski and Real Salt Lake." It's written by our buddy Chandler Holt over at KSL Sports, and he just kind of breaks down. There's some references to the RSL show that we had posted, but it just really breaks down the relationship between Musovski, contract negotiations, having conversations with Pablo, eventually coming back because he wanted to help the team, and then unfortunately what we had witnessed when he went up and took his PK. So that'll be a good read. I'm just trusting that it's a good read. I haven't read it, but I'm going to say it's a good read because it's from KSL Sports. And we know that everything on KSL Sports is good.
You know, I was kind of shocked at the amount of people supporting Musovski in the comment section. I don't know if they weren't privy or like understanding the whole situation, but I think a lot of people thought that, you know, he got done dirty by RSL. And in a lot of cases, I would agree, but not in this one. No, I think he undid himself dirty.
Exactly what we said last time, right? If he would have stayed on the field, kept producing the way he was producing and scoring goals the way he was scoring, and had a decent production, like continued that production that he was having, definitely have those conversations and have that be a possibility. But it's just the way that everything ended. I don't agree with it.
Yeah. I'm very curious to see where he lands and what kind of contract he gets. I'm so curious.
Also, if you go read that article, you will find out Elliot Fall's feelings toward Danny Musovski. He makes it real clear how he feels about Musovski. So go check it out. I'll tease that a little bit. There's quotes in there from Elliot Fall. There's quotes in there from Danny Musovski as well. So that'll be a lot of fun. But I agree with you guys. I mean, we already expressed it, right? If you want more money, I think there's a conversation to be had. Sitting out as the team was getting hot, arguably he was actually finding his footing, connecting really well with Chicho, and then opted to sit out. And, you know, who knows? I mean, I think Real Salt Lake obviously got to where they got to without him. So I don't think it would have made much of a difference, but it's those little choices, those little decisions that you make that can put you in positions like this where you're no longer at the club that you arrived to for such a short time. What else do we want to cover, guys, before we get into the player ratings or player grades for the season? Anything else you guys want to add?
Let's just get into it, man. Let's just get into it.
You want to? Yeah. Do you want to hint a little bit about a rumor that we heard floating out there, Josh?
I think before we get into that rumor, we didn't mention this last episode because it came out, I think, literally the morning after, but roster decisions were announced, and Scott Caldwell and Danny Musovski are out of contract. They're no longer with the club. And then Demir Krylak's contract was declined by the club. So he is out of contract. And Moises Niemann, his loan, is still in talks to be potentially extended. Niemann expressed that he wanted to be back and that Real Salt Lake wants him back. And so we'll see what happens. But conversations are currently ongoing with Demir and Niemann for potential returns. And that's really the biggest RSL news we've had since we last did a show.
Yeah, I don't think anyone was surprised by those roster decisions. I was actually pleasantly surprised. I thought there would be a lot of fan overreaction about the Demir news. But there wasn't, and that was kind of shocking. So I am pleasantly surprised by that.
Well, I think if we ask you, Josh, because I feel like you over anybody have the right type of pulse with, or I guess what I'm trying to say is you have like the most connected pulse to like the fan base. When it comes to Demir, I feel like whatever your feelings are towards Demir usually aligns with like the fans out there.
Yeah.
So tell us your thoughts, because I think it'll be the closest to fans. Like, what do you hope to see happen with Demir and like the contract negotiations? Like, would you take him back? Do you feel like he's still a roster piece? Is there perhaps other ways that the club could retain him? Just give us like a minute or two of your true, sincerest feelings about Demir.
For sure. And you know, we've kind of gone over this before, but we could not as a team afford to bring Demir Krylak back as a designated player. That would be roster suicide in a lot of ways, right? You know, unfortunately with Demir's injury, he seemed to take a step back. And again, this is no getting at Demir for anything, right? I absolutely adore Demir. No
disrespect, right?
But it's just what we've seen, and it's what we're feeling, right? So I think declining the option was the right move. However, I would really, really, really like to see him back in an RSL uniform or with RSL in any kind of capacity. I hope they can come to an agreement for a reduced contract, you know, be more of a role player and more of a role model on the bench, right? Whether that be him being, you know, some kind of coach, player, locker room guy, working with the Monarchs. I don't know. I just really want Demir to be involved with RSL going forward. And I don't know what capacity that's in. I want to see him hit 50 goals, so I hope he's still a player for another year at least. He's always going to be a threat off the bench, you know, set pieces, cleaning up some of that mess in the box, right? Like, I hope we're not done with Demir. That's my piece. I hope to see him back.
Real quickly, he is 34 years old. I know the injury obviously affected him a lot, but let's just say if he's not ready to step into a role like what you just said, do you think that there's other clubs in the league who would have interest in Demir that would maybe get him close to what he was making here, maybe see him making a recovery and being you know, the type of role player that he was here? Do you see that in his future for him, or do you think that it's truly just kind of at the end of it where he should start looking at, you know, kind of slowing down or perhaps joining a role where he's not a player, but, you know, involved with the club somehow?
Yeah, I would be shocked if any team paid him more than $1 million at this point. The league is an entirely different league than it was even 5 years ago. You know, teams are looking to bring in 19-year-olds and pay them the big bucks, not 35-year-olds. You know what I mean? So, no, I don't see a team inside of the MLS looking to do that at all. I would be completely shocked. I could see Colorado throwing millions at him just to piss us off. But that would be their bad, right? Like,
it would be a very Colorado move.
Yeah. It would be a very Colorado move. And I think everyone would be like, yeah, Demir, do it. Go take all their money and then come back. You know what I mean? Go tank over there. Don't do anything for them. Just take their money.
Alex, you agree with what Josh is saying, or do you see potential in Krylak still?
No, I agree with what Josh said. What we saw this season from Demir obviously is nowhere near what we saw prior to injured Demir. As far as roster goes and as far as the money goes, he can't be on DP money anymore. If he wants to continue to be on this roster and be a part of Real Salt Lake, it can't be anywhere near DP money. That money should be spent elsewhere. for Real Salt Lake.
Especially with the departures of Chicho Arango, or sorry, wow, the departures of Chicho Arango, Danny Mufsovsky, yeah. You know, and who knows, Savarino might be gone. There's rumors of Pablo Ruiz leaving, right? So there's going to be some big holes to potentially fill, and the DP money is what you're going to want to fill those.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to kind of see what moves are made. Clearly we're going to be covering as much as we can, or we'll, you know, put out like solo episodes if there is some press conference or, you know, some news. So we're definitely going to keep it going through the holidays and back, you know, to the regular season. But yeah, you know, it sucks, man. It's just what happens at the tail end of a career. I think, you know, Krylock was performing well, had his injury put him out of commission. Unfortunately, when you're not seeing the field, it's gonna make you less sharp. It's gonna make you less of a threat. It's gonna take you out of that rotation. And for players who are his age, like early 30s, mid 30s, it's make or break time. You know what I mean? You could either break through it if you're healthy and can stay healthy. There's still a little bit left in the tank, but it just sucks, man, because we highly respect Amir. Great addition, just everything. Great player, great role model, great example. Obviously doing so much for the community too. Krylock's Corner, everything, man. Like, the dude just shines, and I wish it didn't go this way, but when you look at everything and you assess it the way that Josh just did and Alex, you gotta really take the budget into consideration. And yeah, you gotta make room for the new talent, the new players, whoever that might be. So, hey, while we're on Demir, let's start with him. What grade are we going to give him just based off of merit? Because clearly he wasn't playing, he couldn't play. So what season grade are we going to give him? And we can be a little bit loose with this one because, again, it's not his fault. Josh?
I'm going to go elementary school grading here and go incomplete. Not enough evidence to grade.
Take this paper home and have your parents sign it. All right.
Yeah.
Alex, if you had to give him a grade that's not an incomplete.
If I had to give him a grade, I would probably teeter around the B minus C plus area, because he was still instrumental to getting us to the Open Cup semifinal.
Absolutely. That game against Vegas was very, very important.
There was that game. And then, he had the two goals against LA Galaxy, in the quarterfinal match, I believe it was. But regardless, without, he really stepped up in those Open Cup matches, and I think we have to give him Demir credit for that.
Yeah,
and you know, he can even have an A for just being captain. He didn't make a scene about not playing as much, right? He was still there for everyone. He was still a positive force, right? So, you know, he gets an A for effort, because that makes sense.
Incomplete to an A. You're the easiest teacher to sway, bro. Easy. Yeah, I think, yeah, what the hell, man? Just give him an A, bro. It's, you get injured, you can't play, it's not your fault. But hey, he's doing locker room, you know, like, talks. He's getting him hyped up. He's having the team believe. And
he's being a good role model for young players at training.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying, man. That's what I like to see.
Much love, Demir. Much love.
Yes. Please don't yell at us or at Alex. That's funny, dude. If you guys don't know, Alex got his information from somewhere, maybe thought he was injured earlier in the season. Demir, after the little presser, came over to Alex and was like, bro, I was not injured. And it was a whole exchange, but they're buddies now. They're friends. They hugged it out. And Alex, how cool is that, bro? Come on. You were a fan like a year and a half ago, and now you're just, you know, bumping shoulders with Krylock. All right.
Yeah.
Let's get over to the roster. Hopefully Real Salt Lake's website is valido or updated. Should we start top down or bottom up as far as like top forwards, down. Defenders? Top down? All right.
Yeah, we always start a keeper. So
start in the goalkeeper room.
I'm sorry? Say that again?
Start in the goalkeeper room.
I was saying the don't. We always start.
Yeah. Let's go backwards? Let's go backwards. All right. So if you guys pull up, if you guys want to follow along with us, hopefully this is updated with Real Salt Lake's website. Real Salt Lake roster. At the very top, forward, player category, designated player, Internacional, wears the number 9 jersey, Chicho Arango. Let's give the season grade. I'll leave myself out of this because I find myself agreeing with you guys a lot. But let's kick it over to Alex. Chicho Arango, what would you give him a season grade? What would you put on his report card to send home to his mummy and daddy?
I'm a tough grader, so I'm going to say B+.
Wow.
I'm going to say B+ for Chicho. No, I'm kidding. I would probably say A-.
Alex is like he's like the teacher's TA, bro. Like,
yeah, dude. He's like, I hate everyone. I'm going to grade everyone hard.
No,
the teacher graded me hard.
I would say A-. You clearly see the difference of the way the forwards played, the way Arsenal went forward and attacked once Chicho arrived. For him to come into this halfway through the season and literally change the way that Real Salt Lake went forward and how much energy he gave to that attack, it's going to be really exciting to see what he's able to do with the full preseason under his belt. I'm very excited for Chicho Arango next year. A-.
Sure. I like that. Me gusta. Yeah. Josh, anything to add, bro?
Had he not done his hamstring, he'd easily be an A.
Yeah, for sure. Ooh.
See, and I said I was going to leave myself out of this, but you show passion, bro. You're crying because you're injured.
Yeah, I'm all about it. Like, Alex is being tough.
Yeah. All right, we'll leave that at A-. Chicho Arango, A-. Good work, my guy. What about, citizenship? Flying colors, bro.
Yep.
Citizenship.
Everyone loves him. Dude, I forgot they graded that.
Dude, I had to make up citizenship in high school, bro. I had to go like help teachers clean their classroom because I skipped class too much. And so in order for me to walk and, you know, be a part of that, they're like, you got to make up your citizenship. All right. You know what? I'm just going to go and, man, hang on a sec. So it's not in order on the website, so it's a little bit confusing. Here we go. Never mind. I got it, guys. I'm here. Okay, forwards. Designated player wears number 10, Mr. Savarino. Where would we grade him? We're going to do grades, then we're also going to do citizenship. Go ahead.
B. B generous. B for grade. I know he's the top scorer, but man, that citizenship coming in at a C-, taking that down to a B, right? He could have an A, but he's getting dropped down to a B because of the citizenship.
I'd have to go B-. Spurts.
So B- is fine, but think of how many games he missed.
Yeah,
that could have gotten him to a B-. How much better he could have been?
Him missing the games. I'm just saying that there were so many games, and there was that stretch towards the end of the season where Savarino completely disappeared in matches. Mm-hmm. He was out there and he disappeared. He didn't do anything. And we talked about it too on the show where we needed him to step up, and we just didn't see it at times from Jefferson Savarino. It sucks because I thought he started off the season really, really well, and then just slowly he just kind of plateaued. And like I said, he just disappeared for matches, and we needed more from Savarino. And that's
you just dropped my whole grade down to a C-, all of it.
Well, at least I can be convincing.
Yeah, dude, like that's a report card that you would send home, and in the notes you would say, poor attitude, disengaged, distracted, missing classes, games, right? Like, that would be a big deal, bro. Like, I would be eager to set up a meeting with his parents if he were a student, right?
See, but I think his parents would be like, you're wrong. You're wrong. My son does no wrong.
Well, yeah. And imagine how good of a season he could have had. Like, he's already the top goal scorer and the top assist or the top goal contributor this season for Real Salt Lake. So imagine how much better of a season he could have had he looked engaged the entire season. I don't know, maybe the expectation's high for a DP player, but I think for Savarino, we needed more this season.
Absolutely. I'm going C minus. You talked me all the way down to a C minus. I'm not pleased.
Is it a collective C minus?
Let's do it.
A C minus with a go ahead and sell him asterisk.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Wow, dude. C minus, and we're transferring you to a different class. Because, but, dude, like, think about it, bro. Savarino arrived to our classroom with the little perfect haircut, little backpack, ready to go, like, super promising. We were like, damn, he's going to be a little good student, right? He's not going to come in late from recess. He's going to be obedient. And then, boom, we were all shocked. And now we're at a C minus. So he needs improvement. Would we hold him back a grade at this point?
But I love Sava, and I thought we were a better team when he was on the field. I just wish I saw more from Sava.
Bro, I know the type of discipliner you are. You like you're so mad, C minus, and then at the end of it you're like, well, maybe like a C plus, maybe. Do you want to change it to a C plus?
No, I'm holding firm.
Okay, C minus.
C minus.
All right.
Guys, I don't want to do the entire roster, dude. This seems like it's way too long.
We won't. We'll do like key players. Keys.
Yeah, there you go.
Key players. Everyone else, well, whatever. Okay.
Well, we can do a quick run through, no explanations for like right. the leftovers.
Okay, we'll do a quick explanation for this one. Ruby or Rubin?
C minus.
You know, yeah, okay, so Ruby Rubin, he came to class. He was always willing to learn. He went on a little field trips here and there, a lot of extracurricular activities. But he let his grade slip while he was on those. You know, he did really well on the field trips, right? Did everything he needed to do, but he didn't take his classwork, his main classwork, as serious. And it showed. C plus.
I think the only positive I can think of from Rubio this season is that assist for Chicho in the LAFC match. And the two goals against Austin. But other than that, like, I just didn't see much from Rubio this year.
Yeah, I like Rubio, dude. I think he's got a bad rap with the fans. I think a lot of the media goes in hard on him.
He's a great guy, for sure. But
you gotta remember, he's taking up 600K of the budget.
There you go.
I'm looking at this as like a budget standpoint too, like, you know.
Yeah,
you're a high recruit. We should expect more.
Yeah. It's so weird to think that, like, at least a Real Salt Lake roster, that 600K is a lot of money, especially when, like, you hear about NFL salaries and NBA salaries. Like, it's crazy. Okay. Rubio Rubin, you got a C+, my guy. Nice work. Next on the list, Anderson Julio.
How many times do we need to have the conversation that Anderson Julio is just so much better coming off the bench, and we continue to start him and expect him to live up to that when we've seen time and time again that he's just not. He's a much better when Anderson, go back to like the middle of the season when Anderson Julio was having the best form he's had since probably that 2021 season. He was coming off the bench and being the guy who's going to score the goals to get us a draw in SKC, you know. He's not a consistent starter for me. He's a much better player off the bench. He can still produce off the bench. So I'm going to probably go B.
See, so here's my take, right? Anderson Julio is a very good student, right? He was sitting at the front of the class that's coming off the bench. And he was doing really well. And then teacher moved him to the back of the class and he started to struggle. That's when he started to struggle. And it's because they realized his vision wasn't great and he couldn't see the board anymore. So this is Pablo's fault. It's Pablo's fault.
So we thought he was goofing off, but really it was the vision.
Yep.
Yeah.
And the teacher didn't notice, you know, that he's better off the bench and that he couldn't see. So really it comes down to Pablo and using him the wrong way. So he gets a B because it's not Julio's fault. It's his teacher's fault.
Also, he really needs to figure out how to not be offsides because he's one of the leaders in the league in offsides, and that needs to change next year.
Yeah, because offside is pop quizzes. He's terrible at pop quizzes. Yep.
Absolutely. So do we want to keep him at a B or a B minus?
I can have a B, right?
I think B is fair.
All right.
Sorry, Nicholas.
Midfielder. Let's move over to midfielders. And if we miss anybody, we'll save them for the end. Don't worry. So if you're in your car screaming, chill out. Pablo Ruiz, midfielder. Let's go ahead and give him his grade, and any classroom analogies is perfectly acceptable.
Yeah, he was an A student, and then he moved away, and no one knows what happened and how he's doing at this new school. He just stopped showing up one day, and everyone's like, damn, this kid is killing it. I hope he's doing well.
I think he's one of the very few players for me that gets an A+. I thought he was having a fantastic season. Probably one of the best seasons that we've seen him have in an RSL jersey up till that injury. And I think too, showing RSL's form showed how critical he is to that middle of the park. Him and Brian Ojeda were hooking up very, very nicely. Sucks. It just sucks that it was derailed by that injury, man. I'd give him an A+ for what he did.
Damn. A+. All right. Transfer never to be heard of again. And then guess what? He's going to be back. And we're going to be all happy. Yay.
Right? Yeah, we're going to find out he had like his tonsils out in the middle of the summer.
He got mono.
Yeah. There we go. He had to finish school from home.
That's right.
He makes his triumphant return.
All right. Michael Chang.
I don't want to talk about it. Carry on.
Mikael. All right. You can give an F.
He didn't fail, but like... You know, like a solid C, but like just because he's there. Didn't do anything great, didn't anything doing bad, just there.
Showed up, schoolwork, like not an overachiever, but like the grades were kind of minimal. Like,
yeah, yeah. He does like, the minimum.
Oh, that's right. Okay, perfect. He's like a C+ student.
Did a lot in group projects, you know, just
C+ student, right. Okay.
Yep.
Alex, good with that?
I'm good with that.
All right. Very cool. Loftlesend.
Sophomore slump.
Yeah, you know, he came into school last year, really popular overachieved. Kid. Yeah, popular, really overachieved. Broke up with the pretty girl over the summer, came back, wasn't as popular, really struggled. It affected him, right? He kind of just made it through the year. Kind of under the radar, right? Mm-hmm. He wasn't prom king anymore. He barely got a date. And yeah, just had a rough year. Sophomore year wasn't a good one for him.
So he's got plenty of time to make up for that, right? Because it sounds like he was the cool kid. He got his braces. And now he's not cool. So he's got plenty of time to make that up. However, he is 28 years old. So
yeah,
better recover fast.
Yep. Yep.
Bodhi Hidalgo, which also we saw some Bodhi Hidalgo news.
Can we talk about like some of the higher echelon here and do lower grade, like quicker grades for some of these guys that don't matter?
Okay.
Not that they don't matter. There's just not a lot to grade them on. Let's be real. Right? Bodhi played a couple matches at outside back. You know what I'm talking about?
Okay, okay. Fine, dude. I just love all my students, bro. Now we know who you would leave on a field trip, man. You'd like, all right, all the good players here. All right, let's go. Poor kid sitting at the museum crying because he doesn't remember his home phone number. All right, here we go.
But no, I would give Bodhi a B, by the way.
Yeah, Bodhi had a lot better season than I thought he was going to. I thought he really stepped up at moments.
Yep,
that's all I have on
Bodhi. He also made a national team announcement, right?
No, he got his Chile card. To potentially represent Chile.
Oh, cool. Good for him, man. Dual citizenship. Good job. All right. Diego Luna, dude. Let's talk about this real quick. I have the analogy. Transfer student. I mean, not really, but here, I'm just going to say. Kid transferred from a different school. You know, he might have gotten some crusties at first. The teacher was like, definitely was like, this kid is bad news, right? Just bad news. I don't even want him in my class. I'm not going to give him the same opportunities. Hey, we're going on a field trip, bro, but we're going to go without you because I really don't think your parents are going to sign the field trip card. So you can stay behind and like clean the desks. But then the dude just wild out, went crazy. Everybody loves him. He's so popular. He's so hot right now. So anyways, that's my analogy. He's the Zac Efron of Real Salt Lake right now in High School Musical. Yeah. Not like current Zac Efron, but High School Musical one.
No one thought he could do anything until they saw him at gym class just like banging in free kicks. And they're like, whoa, he could join the soccer team and take us to state. Right? That's him.
Alex,
I think Diego at the beginning of the year wasn't turning in his homework assignments because he started off a little poor. His grade was probably down maybe in the C-, and then he was like, you know what, I'm gonna turn it around, I'm gonna be a good kid, I'm gonna be a good student, and I'm gonna start turning in my homework assignments, and now
getting some extra credit,
getting a lot of extra credit. And I think now for me, Diego sits at maybe an A-.
Dude, I'm gonna jump that. I'm going to one up you. You got an A+ for me. A+ for me.
Dang, bro. A+? Honors?
Absolutely. Absolutely. He's on the honor roll. He's Dean's list.
Yeah.
I love crazy. What Diego Luna did this year.
That's crazy. No one believed in him, bro. The teacher put him in the back of the class. He might have asked for a pencil. The teacher was like, sorry, dude, you don't bring your own pencils. I don't have one for you. You got to just...
He brought a number 3 pencil, needed number 2.
Exactly. Yeah.
That field trip to the U20 World Cup did him wonders.
He got motivated, bruh. And good for him, man. Diego, nice work, dude. Big fan of you. A+, honors. Lettersman jacket, for sure.
Absolutely.
Is it Lettersman or Letterman?
Letterman.
Letterman. Alex, you got one of those, yeah? You played football?
No, I don't. I didn't buy one.
Oh, okay, cool. Good.
They're don't buy one. Not cheap.
Yeah, they're not.
I know, for high school kids, huh? Here's a sick jacket, $230. Yeah. Brian Ojeda.
I think he teeters on an A+, A-.
Damn.
Oh, you're going to give me A+?
I would give him an A+.
I'm going to sit at an A. I think he really turned it around from last year, and he struggled a bit at the beginning of the year, right? A little bit of sophomore blues.
Ooh, yeah, I forgot about that.
He struggled. Yeah, he had some troubles, but then, man, he really turned it on. And, yeah, very integral player for us.
Once him and Pablo really started clicking in that middle of the field, they looked incredible together.
Right, but then he had a gel with Palacio as well. So
and then, yep,
he had a rough time. He had a rough year. There was a lot stacked against him, and he persevered. He got through it. Right, the projector broke a few times in class, and the teacher had to write in chalk, and it was annoying. But he got through it.
Yeah. I'd probably go A-.
I'm going A. Just an A student.
A, very cool. Andres Gomez. I feel like this one was a little bit, I feel like his parents brought him to the principal's office and said, hey, you know, he's a great student. He's going to come in here. He's going to just get amazing, remarkable grades. He's the next big thing. We'll make friends with everybody. He's a great culture fit. He'll make the yearbook. He'll get his own page. And I don't know. I don't know if that panned out.
Do you remember having to pull a card in elementary school?
No.
Like when you were trouble, like you have to pull a card, maybe like yellow. Yeah,
I remember that.
Like a warning. A blue card was like, go see the principal. Red card was like in school suspension.
Dude,
I feel like he had to pull a lot of cards for like, yeah. Like he had to move and live with his auntie, right? In a different state, right? He's uncomfortable, didn't really fit in, didn't know anybody. Took him a while to adjust. You know, he kind of was the class clown because he was trying to find his way. skipped some classes, probably ran with the wrong crowd for a while.
Yep.
And then, you know, he met the basketball coach who turned him around, set him on the right path.
He was making 7-11 runs during third period.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which, okay. Guilty.
Before we grade.
All right.
I do want to mention that during the exit interviews for Gomez, he talked about how he recognized, because I remember we had a conversations here on the podcast before where we were talking about how it was weird that Michael Chang was getting starts over Gomez and Gomez wasn't really getting a lot of playtime. And that was right around the middle of the summer, right before and after Leagues Cup. And he mentioned that he recognizes that at that time he had a bad attitude. Like he wasn't fit. He felt like he wasn't fitting in. He wasn't comfortable in the situation. And it's stuff that we've talked about before. He's an 18, 19, however old he is, kid coming into a whole new country with a whole new language and a whole new culture. And he was having a hard time adjusting. And it makes sense. And he recognizes that. And I think that's good on him for being so young to recognize that and have that maturity to say, hey, I didn't have the right attitude. That's my bad. Next year, we're working on, you know, being more comfortable and being being better here. And I like that from Gomez.
Yeah, he's the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air right now.
Yes.
That would be tough, bro. Imagine being like 18 years old and you're the hottest thing. And right when you step off the plane, there's cameras. You got a wad of cash, bro, thrown at you by this club. And you're going to a new country, like Alex said. Not speaking
the language. In Utah, of all places.
Utah, not speaking the language. Money goes pretty far here. You know what I mean? It'd be tough, man. It'd be really tough. So, yeah, I'm glad that he had the realization and that coming to whatever you believe in moment. I think it's going to – hopefully that'll pay dividends for him, and hopefully we'll get our money's worth next season. But we have all seen like glimpses of hope and promise out of him, so we're not too terribly upset.
Did we land on the grade? Is coming out party for sure.
What's the grade?
C minus.
I probably go C, just flat C.
Dang, dude, that reminds me a lot of me, dude, in like high school. The conversation we just had about like the teachers and the parents, bro. I've literally sat in seats with a teacher across my parents being, you know what? Andy's a smart kid. If he would apply himself, if he was paying attention, if he just turned his home, if he gave effort, like he's a smart kid. He's not stupid. It's his stupid friends, right? So hopefully he'll have a coming too, and we'll see that. Emeka Eneli, Alex's best friend, basically, not really. You're just very fond of this guy, so you're going to give him a biased grade. So let's hear your grade first, and then we'll kick it over to Josh.
I thought he had a fantastic season. I didn't expect that from Emeka. And I mean,
I'm kidding.
He had a good season, but I'm going to go B, and I hope he can avoid that sophomore slump because I think he can be really huge for us next year.
Yeah, Emeka was the kid that, you know, he showed up. He was a year younger than everyone. He was playing. He was up a grade, right? Because he was just killing it. And then overachieved. So, yeah, I think a B is solid. I wish we would have seen more of him at the end of the year. I don't know whose fault that is. But, yeah, I'm a big fan of Emeka, and I hope he can avoid the Jasper Lofelson slump.
I like his build. Girl, man. Yeah, I like his build too, man. Like, I he's just – built well, like super athletic. I mean, the dude just looks like a well shaped soccer player. Like he's just got this is turning really weird. He looks great out there. He looks physically fit.
Looks like he belongs
in the position he's in there. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like,
yep.
He looks like those players that you see in like higher leagues. That's what I mean to say. I just said it in a really weird way.
Yeah, no, I get you. He's not too lanky. He's not too skinny. He's not too tall. He's just right.
Exactly.
And I also, we have to, you know, also praise his versatility. Right back, left back, central mid, winger at times. Like, very valuable piece for RSL. Great job in the draft.
And also, just, he gives off the impression of just having, like, the street smarts, the soccer smarts. Like, he doesn't come off as somebody who's going to have any issues like outside the field. He seems very polished and professional. Yeah. That's what I really like about Emeka. And Alex,
the head on the shoulders.
Yeah, and Alex, your interview at the beginning, like just super like stand up guy, very promising.
Very cool guy.
Nelson Palacio.
I think towards the end of the season, we started to see a lot more from Nelson, and he started to do a lot better. However, there's still, for the position that we want him to play, I think there's still too many defensive mistakes that he's making that we need to possibly clean up for next season. Overall, for a guy who kind of came in mid-year, I would say I'd probably say C+.
I'll go B-, and I think he's one to really watch for in the future. I think he's going to be a very, very, very important piece going forward. He's got what we all want. He's got a little bit of nasty like Beckerman, got a little bit of nasty like Everton, right? But he's also got a little bit of that Pablo Ruiz, like that distribution. He's going to be solid.
Absolutely. All right, hey, we're almost at the conclusion of this. I know there's a lot of names. We're going to hit those. Not every single one, but the key players. So let's move on. Next one, Brian Oviedo. We can go quickly on this one.
Same thing. I think he looked a lot better towards the end of the year. I don't know if he's necessarily the answer at left back, but towards the end, he stepped up for us a couple times. So I'm going to probably say I'm probably also going to go C+ for Oviedo.
Yeah, I'll go C+. He had some real troubles, right? The calculus homework was giving him a hard time, but he got through. I question re-signing him, but that just tells me that they're going to really put the resources into other areas of the field here for a minute, which is fine. But really worried about our outside backs next year at this moment.
Do we feel like Andrew Brody is kind of the same or less than that?
He really struggled this year, man. The AP classes kicked his butt.
I'm going to go say C- for Brody.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. I like that analogy, AP, because he had good stretches, bro. Like in the last season, contributed. Mm-hmm. We saw really awesome glimpses of him. And then this year just kind of shunned out. So while we're in that conversation still, let's talk about our favorite student who comes up on time, who we have a great relationship with, you know, with his fictional mom at the school, right? Like not his real mom. We're just talking in terms of this is the model student, okay? I think you guys know who I'm talking about. Model student, won the spelling bee, always on time, always comes in like before class starts and like helps us distribute the papers. And they're, you know, his mom brings donuts and he brings his little pet to show and tell. And he's also like kind of in charge on field trips, but like not really, but he's keeping all the other kids in check.
Yeah. Captain of safety patrol. But then he gets his driver's license, right?
Ooh.
And he starts driving a lot, right? Starts getting pulled over for speeding a couple times, little reprimand here and there.
We're a little confused because he's, you know, he missed a class.
Got a taste of freedom.
Didn't turn an assignment in. We're talking about
right,
Justin
now, Glad. Now that he's drying, right? Now that he's driving, he's late to class sometimes because he wanted that Egg McMuffin, you know? Still a good student, but fell off a bit.
What's a good analogy for an own goal for school?
He parked in faculty parking and got a ticket. At school.
All right, that's yours. Mine is going to be, you turned in an assignment that you blatantly copied your best friend's answers for, but you didn't like differ the answers. Yeah, you didn't differ the answers, and it's so apparent that you cheated. And so now it's like you broke the teacher's trust, even though you're kind of saying you'll never do it again. That's what it's like for me.
Well, for me, after he parked in the faculty parking lot and got a ticket and or plagiarized, he hasn't been the same player.
Oh, that's right, dude. Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly. He hasn't been the same student, right? Like,
yeah,
you're looking exactly at this kid and you're holding him after class and you're saying, Justin, dude, what happened to you, bro? Like, what's happening at home? Are the kids like, what's going on? Are you not being challenged enough?
If you're my mom, are you on drugs? You know,
are you on drugs? What's going on, dude? Yeah. Well, you're to that point, right? Like, there's been so many like clues and evidence where you're like, you just want to go rip the bed sheets off, right? And like check everywhere. Right. But what happened, Justin Glad? What happened, dude?
I thought he was having a really great season.
An MVP season.
Happy for him to get his 5-goal mark that he, you know, set for himself at the beginning of the year.
That's right.
But after that own goal, after the League's Cup break, man, he just hasn't been the same guy. And I really, really hope that start heading into next season, he resets and he gets back to the guy he used to be.
I know what it is. He was hanging out with his usual crowd, sports, right? They all get the good grades, all that stuff, extracurricular. But he found a new crowd. He's hanging out with the kids who are going to like hardcore shows, staying out late, eating Del Taco.
Denny's at 5 a.m.
Going to Denny's, like, you know, they're fighting and stuff, and you know what I mean. Yeah. That's what happened.
We're not impressed with his friends.
We're not impressed with your friends, no. So if we have to give him a grade, and this one hurts, dude, because like at our core, we want to give this kid a passing grade. We want to give him a good grade.
Right. He's got scholarships relying on it, you know?
Right. But if we want to send a message and we want to give him a correct grade because we love you, but we need to, like, this is harsh. It's like hard love. It's tough love. I can't. Justin, if I could give you an A, I would. But it's just not the right thing to do. We need to dip your grades a little bit so that you'll take this seriously. So, Josh, go ahead, and then Alex, let them know if you agree with this grade.
You know, I think you don't have to knock him too hard, right? I think knocking him down to a B really hurts him. It cuts deep, and I go a B, right? Because you're not killing his GPA. Too bad, right? He's no longer a 4.0. That sucks, right? He's going to have to pay a little more for college now. But I think a B is fair.
B minus.
Whoa. Wow. I'm glad Alex is not my teacher.
Dude, that's like tough.
I'm going to be minus, man.
That's tough.
What if he brings you some like Egg McMuffins in the morning when he's late?
Doesn't matter.
No extra credit for him this year.
Yeah. Did you guys ever do that? Bring your teacher's food when you came in?
Oh, yeah. What? That's a thing? No, dude. Nuh-uh.
No, never. Never did that.
No, I never did anything for my dude. Nah.
I had a teacher that I'd be like, yo, teacher, I got a game today and I'm starving. Can I just skip class and go to McDonald's and I'll bring you back some food and like we'll just pretend I was here? Every time.
Nice.
Worked.
Okay. Well, we won't say what school you went to. No, dude, I... Oh, yeah.
Who's next?
Who's next? All right, let's go. Justin Glad, bro. Step it up, dude. Find yourself a tutor over the summer. You know what I mean? Your parents might want to take the Fortnite away. That's funny because he did used to play a lot of Fortnite.
Maybe go to camp. We're going to really focus.
Go to camp, dude. Yeah, just, you know, just do something. All right. We didn't see too much of Marcelo Silva.
He's a super senior.
Damn, dude, he got held back.
Super senior and keeps dressing like a freshman, you know?
Dang.
No, he's falling out with the crowd. No one really likes him anymore because he's old.
He's a great guy, but there were glimpses where he started to show his age a little bit. You know, he's getting outrun by some forwards. I would probably say for Marcelo, I'm gonna go around the same realm as maybe a B minus C plus.
Okay. I mean, I'm gonna go C. Didn't see a lot of him.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Like he's doing his work, he's a great super senior, but there could be more and you kinda have that perception, right? So
yeah, but if he's gonna stick around, you really want him to, you know, really apply himself and graduate early.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Not even early, just graduate.
Yeah, you're like, hey, bro, you know you could just get like your GED, right? Like you don't have to be here. Okay. Brian Vera with some bombazos.
Unpopular opinion. I'm giving him an A.
I like it, dude.
I'm giving it a B.
I think Alex is keeping it grounded, yeah. We saw some glimpses, right? Like, studied, killed it on the tests, but then there were some lapses there, here and there.
I think, yeah, there was definitely there was definitely some defensive lapses that I think directly led to conceding goals from Brian Vera. Give him all the credit in the world for the bombazos, for the PK. He's done a lot of good positive things to build on. He has to clean up the game a little bit defensively. I think maybe he still has to adjust a little bit to that center back position, considering that he prefers left back and he wants to play left back. But I think he still needs a little bit more time to fully adapt to a center back position. And then sometimes the passion gets the better of him.
Listen,
there was that moment against Houston where I thought he made a bad call, and you know,
he didn't want to join the debate team. He was forced to join the debate team, and he did a damn good job at debate team, even though he didn't want to be there. Okay.
Wasn't the best like master debater, but he debated for sure.
He debated his ass off.
He was at every meet, but he just did not do that great. Okay. Zach McMath. Dude. Ooh, this is going to be a tough one, dude. Tough grade, but.
Listen, Zach McMath, great effort. Student.
Effort.
Yep. Puts the effort in, right? He's great at his homework. You know, he passes his tests, but the teacher's really sick of him bringing an apple every day. All right. Getting kind of old.
Like a little too much kiss ass?
No, not even that. I didn't know what to say. You know, Zach had a fine season. I thought his distribution actually got better. Great shot stopper. I'd give him a B+.
Oh, dude, no. You got to move him up to an A for those blocks on the penalties.
No.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't, because there were still some distribution mistakes that directly led to goals. And there were still some goals that I think he was poorly contributed positioned. To. Yeah, he was poorly positioned at times that other teams scored. I think overall though, solid season. I think what you would expect from a veteran guy. So I'd probably teeter around that B minus area.
Yeah, I'm going B+. You know, there were a few goals that, you know, he got his hands on the ball but put it back in a poor position for us to defend, right? Which led to the opposing team cleaning it up. But no, he's a solid goalkeeper. I think he's a good locker room guy. I think he's good for the state. He's just, yeah. He's not flashy. He's not exciting, which is what we all miss about Necromondo, right? But overall, he gets the job done. We can appreciate him. We can respect him. And yeah.
And he's a great mentor.
Yep.
Yeah.
Got to give him credit for being a great mentor to what's coming up.
Fantastic. Let's see. I think that wraps it up. I mean, I know we saw a little bit of Gavin Beavers. I don't know if we saw enough to really properly grade him.
No.
Right? I don't think so. Is there anyone that I'm missing on this list? I'm just having another look-see. While I'm doing that, let's give some staff grades, dude. And really, I don't want to get into the whole FO talk. I really don't want to do that because... I don't know. I doesn't really matter what we say. I said it in my solo episode. It's like one of the most secure jobs ever in the world. So it doesn't really matter if we give them a grade, but Pablo Mastroini, man, oh man, oh man, oh man, Pablo.
I think overall Pablo had a very inconsistent season. There was moments towards the end where we were just sliding down the table and it looked like there was no answers and he was making no adjustments on the field. And I think I'm still holding that over him a little bit. But I give him, you know, we have to give him credit for that stretch in the summer where RSL almost looked unbeatable at times. We have to give him credit for the semifinal. I think overall Pablo, I'm going to go B minus on Mastroini.
Yeah, I think when you give your students the same quiz over and over again and they keep failing it, right? And you're not teaching them the answers or helping them find the answers, and you just keep retrying that same quiz or a very similar quiz, and it just isn't working out, you know, that gets frustrating for a student. I'm going to give them I'll go C plus.
Well, you know, what's interesting too, is like, I guess if for anybody keeping track or writing down the grades, you would probably notice that the class average is like what, B minus? Like if we were to take the C's, the B minuses and the A's that we handed out, we're probably right. Exactly. So we're probably like B minus, C plus. And overall, like, you know, the season, we can't really give the season a grade. I mean, we could, but when your entire list of players are officially scored by the RSL show, which we know is official, when the average is like a C average, then I think, yeah, I like Josh's point. It's like the way you're teaching the curriculum or expecting everybody to just kind of catch on. And at the end of the day, like, you don't have a grasp on things. I agree with Alex. Like there were stretches where we have to give credit, but it's always been the common theme is like, what's the subbing pattern? Why haven't we adjusted tactics? Why are we going in? There were a lot of questionable starting 11 rosters that we saw in like the Open Cup, in the MLS playoff runs, just a lot of questions. And I really like Pablo, but I think sometimes he relies a little bit too much on like, rah-rah, or like, I don't want to say superstition, but almost like he acts as if, you know, if we have the right attitude and, you know, if we're positive, if we believe things are going to work out in our favor. And I don't know, man, I would love to have a coach that just demands more, will call out players when they need to be called out. And yeah, I don't know. I just think we need somebody tougher. We need to whip this. We need to save these kids. We need to get through to these kids.
I was literally thinking that same thing.
We're going to get through to these kids. We got to get through to these kids. Like, you know, bring up the average. Bring up the average, man. And that's funny because we have an average team. We had an average season. Breaking into the playoffs for me just doesn't really do it anymore. We saw a lot of soccer, but that's not because of Real Salt Lake. It's not because like we advanced the season. It's because MLS put a rule in of three games, best mm-hmm. of three. That's why we saw Real Salt Lake a lot in the playoffs. We might have been eliminated had it just been like a one game series. Alex, go ahead.
Ownership spent 16 mil or however much it was throughout the course of the year to improve this roster. And we are in the same spot that we were last season with the first round elimination and doing end of season episodes by Thanksgiving.
Yep. Yeah. It's a tough pill to swallow when, I don't know. I mean, we've been doing this for so long, man. I think we've kind of grown numb to the results, regardless of what they are. Clearly, if we go further, you know, we've been here through like a Western Conference final. That one didn't hurt as much because we were pretty proud about that. But I mean, look at us. Like it's to be expected. You know, we know we're in a bad school district. We're like, everyone got a C plus average. Cool. Let's do it again next year. So yep. Any closing thoughts, guys, before we wrap this up? We're a little bit over, but do you guys agree with the grades? This is for the listeners. Do you guys agree with the grades? Was there anybody off the list that you want to grade? Tweet at us, shoot it over to us. Also, if you sorely or severely disagree with any of the grades that were given out today, tweet at Alex Napolis. Let him know. But with that, is there anything you guys want to add? Josh, I mean, you had a rumor for us, bro. Do you want to spill the beans or maybe like give us a little...
No, ooh. Let's be more vague about it. Like, it was discussed, and let's just see if anyone picked up on it. We talked about it. Let's see if anyone picked up on it.
Yeah, we did talk about it.
But we're not, like, super hot confirmed. It's discussions.
No, it's it's grapevine, probably not true. You know,
telephone.
Yep.
Yeah, telephone. Cool, guys. Well, hey, we appreciate your guys' time. Thanks for hanging out with us. We truly hope that you guys got the rest and the camaraderie with your family and friends over the Thanksgiving holiday weekend. We will be back with more episodes. We're going to be pushing full team episodes like we are now, but also look out for like one-offs. I'll be doing a few. Alex will be doing a few. Maybe Josh will do some. We just kind of want to have that consistency, and we will find something to talk about. If you guys have any ideas or if you guys hear about anything that you want to be discussed on the show, send us a message, Instagram, Twitter. We're good for it. RSL Show on KSL Sports. Please subscribe to our podcast and leave us a review. Talk to you soon.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah help.
Real Salt Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading Doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.